Oh my goodness, Tom, I'm exhausted.
Well, it's the telephone.
Yeah, no, thanks for summing it up.
Yeah. Well, good news.
Okay.
You remember those Stephen King coins?
Yeah, the ones that put us horribly in debt.
Yeah, the ones that are worth minus £10.
Negative £10.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. Don't tell me.
Well, I've sent them off to the Treasury.
Oh, you got rid of them?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, great.
I got the address for the Treasury.
I'm just glad that I get a little break to drink my water before we start the next segment.
Mm.
Oh, we're not going to go live anytime soon, right?
Well, it's we're about to go live in two.
Coming to you live for the first time ever, it's Radio Go! This week on the show, Quentin the Pilot! Plus music from Wolfmon and Erica Wennerstrom. All that and much more on Radio Go with your host, Riley Ray! To Radio Go! Thanks so much for tuning in. Great to have you. Good to see you. If you detect a little bit of tiredness at the end, very back of my throat there, well, you may or may not know, coming in at the back half, the very final segment of our epic telethon. It feels like it's been going on for months now, almost 6 weeks or so of recording. Broadcasting live for all of you as we raise funds to try and get the radio station back on its feet after the tragic loss of our station manager just 2.5 hours ago. We've gone through the ringer emotionally over this time. We've argued with our work experience kid. We've tried to defeat a sentient data entity with misinformation. We've had baseballs thrown at us. We've been threatened, almost forced to jump out of the window. We've read film reviews. Honestly, it's been an ordeal from start to finish. But as always, we are here to entertain you, the people. I am your host, Riley Routh. This is Radio Go. And if we don't make the final 25% of our funding goal in the next half an hour, this will be the final episode of Radio Go. I mean, honestly, we are down to the wire here, and I have to be honest with you, dear listener, this is what it all comes down to, you know, one way or another, this is crunch time. I wonder what the phrase crunch time comes from. What was the crunch? There must have been a single crunchy event that caused the word crunch time to be invented. Nowadays, it usually refers to, like, development cycles, you know, or I guess any work. I know it from game development, but any job where you've got projects, you know, and sort of coming down to the final few hours, they call that crunch time. Why not, like, squish time or squelch time, you know? Why was the onomatopoeic choice for that particular? I guess neither of those quite have the impact of crunch, you know? But even then, like, when I think of crunchy things, I usually think of, well, I think of a crunchy, actually, the chocolate bar. Deeply underrated chocolate bar, in my opinion. Nods. Yes, cheers from the crowd. I'm getting a standing ovation. People love the crunchy. Yes, my opinions are so good. People are agreeing with me all around the world. Now, if every single one of those people who agreed with me, for the price of a crunchy, which these days is probably, like, I don't know, 25 quid or something for a crunchy, I have to assume it's been a little while for me. But if all those people would just spend the price of a crunchy and donate that every month to our radio show, then we could keep going for at least another 2 weeks. In the meantime, though, we're just going to have to deal with the fact that whatever happens, we're going to make this show, we're going to focus on this one right in front of us and make this the best Radio Go show that we possibly can. And to help us with that, later on, we'll be talking to a pilot. I've never spoken to a pilot. This is really exciting. He's called Quentin, and excited to learn more about him and what exactly it is that he pilots, and much more coming down later in the show. Can't wait for you to hear it all, but in the meantime, let's listen to a song. This is a jaunty little number. Discovered this one recently. It's called Tokyo Night, and it's by Wolfmon. Hope you enjoy it. It's a funky little tune. So get to boogieing right here on Radio Go.
We had a complaint put in by the Kellogg's Corporation. They don't want you bringing up Crunch Time.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they own the Crunchy Bar?
No.
I wouldn't have thought
so. It's got nothing to do with the Crunchy Bar.
No, nothing did. No. I don't know why it came up,
but it does have something to do with the invention of cornflakes.
Now, I've heard about this. I don't think it's true. What's the... go ahead and outline the...
So, the invention of
The claim.
The invention of cornflakes is that they were used as bedding, sort of, instead of feathers.
Yeah.
They were used in bedding.
Yeah.
So that they would make a lot of noise. So yeah. So the monks in the monastery, if they were to get busy...
If they were to move with vigour.
Yes. If they were to... sort of
engage in activities.
Yes. Debate masterfully.
If they were to jerk off.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about.
I think we're on the same page. Tom McGrath.
They
and it would get all crunchy.
It would make a noise. It would make a crunch.
Right.
And then it would alert the
This can't be true.
Well, this is what they did. So that they realized they couldn't stop the monks from, you know, performing the five-knuckled shuffle.
That's the worst one yet. That's horrible.
It is the worst.
What's being shuffled exactly?
A fist has been shuffled.
Shuffle implies randomization. If anything, it's a five-knuckle oscillation.
So yeah, no, Kelg's written in.
Right, yeah, there was a complaint. What was the problem?
So because they're bringing up Crunch Time, which was known throughout the monasteries, because they couldn't curb the epidemic of monks.
And they started calling it Crunch Time?
Started calling it Crunch Time.
Okay.
Basically, every week there was an hour in which they could crunch the cornflakes.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, Tom.
Yeah.
I understand what you're talking about.
So...
hold on, but here's my question.
Yeah.
Why is this my problem? Why are they complaining to me for using the phrase?
Because no one's brought it up on radio before. No one's mentioned Crunch Time. No, obviously people use the phrase Crunch Time all the time.
Yeah.
No one's all questioned time. Where it came from.
Oh.
They don't want people to look into it.
Okay, so what you're telling me is I've got to stop questioning the phrases that I use.
Well, yeah.
And stop trying to point towards their etymology. Okay, I'll go with it.
You just got to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Now, where did...
We're back in 5, 6, 7,
hold on, this isn't right. Hold on. Are you going up?
7.
No, yeah.
6.
Okay, I think we're good.
5.
Okay.
4.
Phew.
5.
Oh.
4.
Oh, boy.
3. 2.
Welcome back to Radio Go! That was Tokyo Night by Wolfmon. Hope you enjoyed that one. And if you detect a little levity in my voice, then it's just because I was having a lovely highbrow conversation with producer Tom over the break there. We were talking about...
literature.
Literature and our favourite literatures. In the meantime, we've got to get to our guests of honour, the final of our many guests that we've had coming through the doors here at the telethon, hopefully going to let us down with a nice little bit of normality after the madness that we've had. Please welcome to the show. Oh, he's a pilot, and his name is Quentin. Quentin, welcome to the show.
God save the king.
Quentin. Thank you for coming.
It is respectful to His Majesty to reply with God Save the King when God Save the King is sang. God Save the King!
God Save the King.
Yeah, absolutely, we're with you. Quentin, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you, Riley the Ordinary Civilian.
Oh, okay. I suppose I am an ordinary civilian. I wouldn't describe myself that way, but I suppose that implies that you yourself are not an ordinary civilian. Are you perhaps a pilot in the RAF?
No.
Oh, I apologise. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about your deal and situation.
I fly for the most monarchist of airlines. His Royal Highness is jet2.com.
Oh, really? You're a commercial pilot?
Yes.
That I wasn't expecting.
But I have a very exclusive flight path.
Really? You only fly one particular path?
Yes, I just exclusively fly from London City Airport to London Heathrow Airport.
Really? How long is that journey, Quentin?
It's actually a lot longer than you'd think.
Yeah,
due
well,
to the short distance between the places, you have to go up and then you have to spin around quite a long way to be able to achieve the turns. It takes approximately 90 minutes.
Okay, I'll be honest with you. I was thinking about 90 minutes. Mm. So it wasn't that much longer than... Yes, than
it's not a popular flight.
No, I can't imagine. Mm. And how many times a day do you make that flight?
17.
17? That's a long work day. Aren't you supposed to get, like, a certain amount of rest between each flight? I mean, even if it is only a short flight. I mean, 90 minutes is not that short.
Does His Majesty rest?
Right, what's the thing with the king, exactly? You have a particular affinity with the monarchy? I wouldn't have thought of Jet2 as a... Jet2.com, is that the full title of the airline?
Yes, Jet2.com, but I think internally it's known as the monarchist airline. I think if you think internally, British airline...
Yeah.
And you think, what's the most British airline? I think we all think Jet2.com.
The BA, if you like.
I don't know what you're hinting at.
The British...
But I would like to say here, right now...
Yes.
British Airways is full of Republican sympathisers. And they should be burned on Guy Fawkes Day.
Whoa! Hold on. That's a little extreme, Quentin. So you're a fan of the royal family.
Yes.
That much is obvious. But I don't think that means that people who belong to other British Airways or British Air places should be killed for their beliefs. I mean, what does flying a plane even have to do with the monarchy? They don't seem related in my book.
Well, that's an extraordinary accusation.
Is it?
Reasons
didn't seem that extraordinary.
That being a commercial pilot with Jet2 is very relevant to the king. Number one, the king has been to London Heathrow Airport. Number two, every day I dress up looking a bit like the king the king is in military uniform.
I did want to say that your outfit and your appearance... Mm. Can I ask, are the ears prosthetic or are you born with those?
Oh, these are prosthetic. If you're committed to look like King Charles III in the way I'm committed to look like King Charles III, you do have prosthetic ears of King Charles III.
Of course. No, they are incredibly... I don't know if lifelike is the word that I would use, but certainly true to his appearance.
Yes, larger, obviously, larger.
Larger than life.
Mm. Well, you know, what people don't know about King Charles is, as well as having a mortal fear of pigeons, he... admitted in a secret taped interview that I got with him 7 years ago that his greatest regret in life was not having extremely large ears.
Now, hold on, Quentin. We've got to reverse taper just a little bit there. Did you say that you got a secret interview with Prince Charles 7 years ago?
Yes.
That you obtained illegally? Are you admitting to that now, live on the air?
I wouldn't say it was illegal. I would say...
Would a judge say it was illegal, though?
A judge said, and a judge still states, that it is under NDA. But I would say His Majesty seemed pleased to see me at the time.
That doesn't mean that it's not an NDA. Just because somebody's happy to see you, it doesn't mean that there's... that's not a legally binding, you know...
Yeah, but if you were the king...
The classic pickup line, is that a legally binding contract in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me? Oh, you like that, Quentin. You're a fan of that one.
The king was very happy to see me.
Quentin's usually stoic demeanor cracked that so slightly. So when under what circumstances did you meet the king and obtain this illegal or potentially illegal recording?
Was he on your
flight?
No, we were at Windsor Palace and we were holding hands. And
I hate to interrupt, Quentin. But when I ask about the circumstances, I think you should probably start at the beginning of the story.
You mean before he held my hand?
Why was he holding your hand?
Because we're lovers.
Oh, boy.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Quentin, are you trying to tell me that you and King Charles have engaged in some crunch time of your own?
I was listening to that earlier bit.
Oh.
And I thought some of the jokes were disgusting.
Okay.
Okay. I'd have you know that Charlie would never speak that way, and it's not the way we speak in this nation.
I don't think we were just talking about literature.
Oh yeah, we were. Dorian.
We weren't talking about
Dorian Gray and
the other ones,
Dante and such.
Yeah.
What's your favourite literature, Tom?
The one.
Great. So you're trying to tell us, Quentin, that you've been engaged in an illicit affair with the King of England? How long has this been going on? You said that you got this recording 7 years ago. Sounds like you're still together.
Well, in many ways we're still together, but I suppose in more practical ways we have been separated.
Okay, list the ways in which you consider yourselves to be together, and then list the ways in which you consider yourself to have been separated.
Okay, I think we're together because I love him, and I know that he loves me.
Mm.
And every day I shoot down a pigeon so that there's one less pigeon hunting him. But the ways we are...
How do you fit this into your schedule from flying back and forth between the
it's
two
It's very
airports?
Easy if you're flying over London to kill pigeons.
So you... Apologies.
My route takes me directly through Trafalgar disbelief. Square at almost ground level. Jets just burn them up.
Hold on. That sounds deeply unsafe. How many people have you killed doing that?
I don't know. But ultimately, in protecting the nation, there will be friendly fire.
Protecting the nation from pigeons?
Well, specifically the king. But yes. We.
So you're in love with the king. When did you last see King Charles? May I ask that?
Oh, you mean on TV?
Obviously not. That's clearly not what I mean.
7 years ago.
When you made this recording?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest with you, I've completely lost the thread. What was on the recording that made him never want to talk to you again? Oh, he admitted something about his ears.
He...
No, I can't remember either. It was some time ago.
Well,
several twists and turns in the story.
It all really comes down to the pigeons, Riley, as I'm sure you expect. As you know, when Charles was a very, very young man, a pigeon got into his dressing room and it pooped on his crown. And it's only for that reason that he didn't become king for such a very, very, very long time.
Right. Because that's a bad omen, right? It's considered sort of bad luck.
Yeah. Before that, she was going to abdicate. I mean, that day. I mean, she was ready. But then, absolute nightmare.
And she refused because...
Because bad omen.
A pigeon pooped on his crown.
So, decades.
Decades. And you know all of this. Were you there at that time as well?
No, I wasn't there at that time. This was confided to me. In Windsor Palace Gardens. And if you doubt the sincerity of the fact, let me give you some snippets of information that only someone who could be inside Windsor Palace could know.
Please, feel free.
The walls are quite strong.
Are they? Okay.
Oh, yes.
I feel like that's information that I could get just by going to the outside of the walls.
I don't see how you could know that without having been to Windsor Palace.
Well, if I looked at the exterior of the walls with the eyes of my face, then I would just be able to see.
What, and you would just make a guess that they were strong walls because it's a castle?
I suppose so, honestly.
Well, I think we're not looking for flimsy guesses here, Riley. We're looking for evidence, and I think what I've provided here is evidence.
All right. Quentin, look, I appreciate all... This is earth-shaking information, and I think that this is going to get us a lot of listeners for our telethon in the final stretches, but we do have to go to a song. Can you stick around for a little bit? I'd love to learn more about you.
Of course. God save the king!
God save the king!
Oh, that's not the song that we're going to be playing. We're going to be playing a song called Extraordinary Love. I love this song extraordinarily. It's by Erica Wennerstrom, and it's right here, right now, on Radio Go. Oh, boy. Quentin, thank you for that interview. How much of that was real? Be honest with me.
I don't understand the question.
Well, we're off air now, so you can drop the... It's just that people like satire, and I'm sure that they're going to appreciate your satirical edge on the sort of, you know what I mean, Tom, the kind of allegations of the relationship with the king. But we do have to put in a little bit of a disclaimer that that's obviously not true.
How dare you? Are you Republicans?
I'm not, no.
Tom, can I have a word?
Yeah, sure.
This Quentin seems insane. This doesn't seem correct at all.
What do you mean?
Well, he's claiming to have been in a relationship with King Charles.
Might be true.
It might not be. There's a good chance that it isn't.
Do you know King Charles's secrets?
I don't. But I'll tell you who does. Data entity Derek. We're going to have to get Derek back.
Oh.
Find out if this is true. Because here's the thing, Tom. If this isn't true, and we've just got some person who's making up lies, and this gets out, I mean, it's being broadcast live, if people hear this, we're going to get sued for slander. You think you've got problems with the Kellogg's Corporation? Imagine getting sued by the King.
I'd much rather be sued by the King, if anything. But
I don't think you would.
You know the powers the King has. You do not know the powers that the Kellogg's Corporation has.
I suppose
they are
that's
an unknown
true.
Entity.
It sounds like they mostly fill up people's mattresses.
Monks' mattresses, maybe.
Monks' mattresses. Yeah. It's a limited sphere of influence.
Yeah.
But in any case, we've got to find out the truth. And I can only think of one person who could do it. Do you think we can get that horrible freak back?
Well, they are sort of in the storeroom bleeding data all over the place.
Oh, did you shiv them in the break?
No, nothing happened. They just started bleeding whatever viscous fluid came out of them.
Gross!
Like, just out of their eyes.
You're going to have to clean that up when we're done with this.
I felt really bad for lying to them.
We had to. We had no choice.
Yeah.
Or at least it seems that way at the time. I don't remember now. That was hours ago.
Yeah, I don't know why we didn't have a choice.
There was a very good reason at the time, I'm certain of it. Okay, we have to go and find them.
Okay.
We have to find out the truth. Can I trust you with this, Tom? Because the future of the radio station rests on your shoulders.
Okay.
You don't seem that bothered.
No, it's always been on my shoulders. It's fine.
That's probably true, actually. Yeah. You're the only person who does any actual
work.
Well,
I'll go grab
Data Entity Derek.
Yeah, Data Entity Derek from the storeroom.
Good luck. Yeah, God luck to you.
Well, we're back in 5, 6, 7.
This is not
8.
Good, Tom. Tom, this is not a good. sorry, everybody. Welcome back to Radio Go. I didn't get the normal count there from producer Tom. And I'm back here with Quentin the pilot. Quentin, God save the King.
God save the King.
I'm starting to get into the rhythm of it now.
That's beautiful, tuneful.
I don't know if I would go that far. But look, I really appreciate you sticking around. And you've got so much gossip, so much scandalous stories. Why have you never shared these stories before? I mean, you could write a book with this kind of information.
I prefer to express myself through the sound of the trumpet, which is the most royal of the instruments. Would you like to hear?
I suppose so. Sure. Go ahead. Oh, you've got your trumpet with you. God save the King. Yeah, I picked up on that one. So
who could have guessed?
And I suppose the trumpet doesn't translate well to books, to literature.
No.
Exactly. Are you much of a reader?
Yes.
You must have a fair bit of downtime up there in the sky.
I've read Charles and Diana's wedding vows. I've read Charles and Camilla's wedding vows.
Long read, that one.
Yeah.
How did you feel when Diana, you know, met the big D, by which I mean death?
I felt many things, Riley. I think...
List them.
I think one thing, and I guess this will show you how deep my feelings were at the time. I was flying the plane, and I landed. As in, I heard the news, and I just had to land. So
landed. Where did you end up landing?
I don't know. London is very big, but it was a suburb.
It was a suburb?
You're
saying it's not there
anymore?
It's
actually a very, very useful multi-story car park these days.
Useful for cars or useful for emergency landings?
I've tried to emergency land on it since.
I'll be honest with you.
I chased a pigeon.
Quentin. No surname, really? Just Quentin? Or are you, I suppose the king doesn't really have a surname. I mean, he kind of does, but we all just call him.
I'm Quentin the First.
Are you
Pilot not, Quentin First?
Are you claiming to be a member of the royal family?
No, because then it would be incest. I'm.
Yeah, but it's the royal family. Has that ever been a problem before?
Well, I think that's slanderous.
Do you think that's slanderous?
I think if Charlie knew the way you were talking right now, he'd be very upset because he's a very, very private man.
Look.
As he told me when we were cuddling that time 7 years ago. And he he told me about his ears that night.
This time 7 years ago, Quentin, I'm not currently in a position to doubt your story or verify it. Maybe sometime in the very near future. But in the meantime, it sounds to me less of a long-term relationship and more of a kind of one-night stand situation. Would that be fair to say?
No.
Oh.
And I can prove to you that he still loves me.
Oh.
With some of these pieces of evidence.
Okay.
He has continued to be the king.
When
we were together...
What is that evidence of?
Well, when we were together, I said what I loved about him most was that he was king. And think of all the careers he could have had. He could have been a pilot. Ryanair was hiring at the time. Even Jet 2 was looking into more cabin crew stuff.
I don't think...
So many opportunities were available to him. Why wouldn't you become... Because he has all the connections. He could be giving out pastries on Jet 2.
Yeah, but why would he? He's the king. He doesn't have to work for a living.
I think you don't work for Jet 2 because you love work. You work for Jet 2 because it's the greatest honour that mankind can hold.
You make a great... One second there, Quentin. Come in.
Excuse me.
Yeah, sorry. Hi, we're recording a radio show in here.
I'm just looking for me ball.
Your ball? Sorry. For the benefit of the listener, I should mention this gentleman who's just come in is wearing... Is that a baseball uniform?
Yeah, and I'm also holding a baseball bat.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I hadn't spotted that. All right, well, come in, Guy. What's your name?
Guy, actually, yes. Guy Ballfour. I was just playing a game, and the better hit a home run. And actually hit an executive double diamond home run, but
I see.
I'm here to get it.
Oh, so this batter hit the ball from the baseball stadium on the other side of town into our 15th floor radio station studio.
Nah, anyone can do that. I'm from the next town over. Had to get a bus and everything. Look, do you still have it or not? Because I need to get it back before he rounds second.
You mean the game is still going?
Yeah. Well, you see, the better's a legend. He's called Turtle Jerkins. He was born upside down and back to front. So his physiology is all, you know, wibbly. He has the most powerful swing of any baseball player in history. But he's also the slowest person ever to be alive.
Oh, hence Turtle, I guess.
Nah, he got that name because he loves the Ninja Turtles.
Oh, cowabunga. Well, look, Guy, we do have the ball.
Great, yeah.
But honestly, the way you've handled this is pretty terrible. You can't just go around breaking windows in the next town over all for the sake of your sports ball.
Well, that wasn't me.
I won't hear it. You want this ball so bad? Go get it.
Hey, wait.
Sorry, pal, I make the rules here.
Hey, well, thanks for nothing, you jemmy pricks.
Yeah. Say hi to Turtle for me. Oh, boy, honestly. Sorry about that, folks.
Where was that guy from?
South Africa, I think.
All right.
No, sorry, he said the next town over.
Oh, of course.
You
course.
Know.
Yeah.
The show's never really been the same since we relocated to Cape Town.
Yeah. Or Wolverhampton. Who knows?
Tom, did you get Derek?
Yeah, I've got him.
Oh, okay, fantastic. All right, and Quentin, we have a real treat for you now. Coming into the studio, brought in here by producer Tom. Quentin, I'd like you to meet Derek, the data entity.
God save the king.
Hello. Yes, save king, and everyone is good. Yes.
This is Derek. This is Quentin.
I cannot see. I have leakages. Yes, leakages.
He's very leaky.
He is. That's data. That's actually liquid data coming out of him. Derek is a silicon being made entirely of data. We interviewed him on the previous segment.
I have not left this place into 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks.
2 hours or so. It's not been that long. Look, Derek, we've actually brought you here to kind of verify some information because, you see, Derek knows everything there is to know, Quentin. We weren't able to stump him earlier, so we're pretty sure that we can guarantee that your story is true or false based on what Derek is able to confirm.
Are you suggesting that my story could be false?
I'm suggesting that your story could be false. Yes, actually, yeah, sorry. That's absolutely what I'm suggesting. Yeah, completely.
Well, that is slander.
Well,
that's slander. Worse than saying Charlie has good ears. I mean, that is slanderous.
Okay.
Look, that is worse than cutting data out of someone. For sure. For sure. For real, for real. That is a slang term that people use, I think. I don't know.
Derek, look, here's how I want to do this, okay? Quentin here is going to tell you some facts, and we need for you to just tell us if they're true or not. Okay, that's all we need. Understood?
Understood. Yes, maybe.
Boy, Quentin, go ahead. Perhaps you could just recap some of the shall we say juicier details of your story.
Okay, I'll start at the most important place. Everyone at British Airways should be burned.
I believe that to be true. I also believe Riley Ruth is impartial to that.
I would say I'm against burning in general. Good. But okay.
You have burned many creatures before. I am aware of that.
Whoa, close enough. Look, Quentin, perhaps we could get to the personal details about your history with a certain somebody.
Mm. King Charles, when he held my hand, his hand was warm and I felt flutters.
That is a blues song. I have heard it before. I cannot tell. I cannot tell who sung it. I believe it was you.
We found Eric's one weakness. It's the blues.
Also leaking my data. That causes a lot of pain.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
It is quite oozy in here. I don't want it to get on my uniform. The king would never be oozy.
It can cause third-degree burns if you aren't careful.
There is actually a little bit burning through your shoe there, Quentin.
That's actually interesting. How would you transport this to a British Airways centre?
I presume I am malleable, I am movable. I am happy to help. I am happy to help. Oh. Please stop the dripping, the viscous dripping of all this data. Please,
Quentin, I can make dripping stop.
I don't know if I can condone this, Quentin.
But you can condone the burning of other animals.
Look, that was many years ago, okay? That's not something that we have to bring up on the air. Look, here's the truth, right? We want to know, Derek, if King Charles ever had an illicit affair with this man here.
Define affair. Define affair.
Breaking the cornflakes with somebody that you're perhaps not in a public relationship with.
Cornflakes are all around us now. You are aware of that.
I understand that they're getting closer and closer, legally speaking.
They do also watch you. The Cornflakes Company watches you. Riley, you are aware of that. Cornflakes.
Oh boy, this is not good. Quentin, perhaps we should go with your idea of disposing of Derek in a safe way that perhaps happens to align with your own goals vis-a-vis the British Airways.
That could be very good. Riley, you've burnt many animals before. So much burning, so much death.
How do you know this, Quentin?
Derek told me. And according
I am
to
happy to provide information.
I would rather you didn't, honestly.
I didn't know that Derek had a... What's that screen on Derek's chest?
Oh.
That is full
Teletubby over here.
That is extremely violent.
Oh.
That is a video now. My creator had one and kept it with him.
Oh, no. Okay.
Also, I appear to be corroding through some of your electrical equipment.
Okay. Tom, perhaps you could just open the window there for me? Sorry, Derek. Sorry.
There you go, Derek.
This has to be done.
Riley Ralph does burn animals, though. That is very clear.
Derek, wait for me in the lobby.
Okay, all right.
Wow, someone really crunch-timed all over the floor, didn't they?
Oh, God, that's disgusting. Look, that's all the time we have. Quentin, I'm sorry, but I don't think this has worked out the way we wanted.
God save the king.
God save the king.
I don't think I can, because look, if we say that, that's going to be the last thing we ever say on the last episode of Radio Go. Look, we're not even close to our fundraising goal. We didn't make enough money, Tom. The telephone, it didn't work. We got all bogged down in the details of whether King Charles had an illicit affair with this airline plan.
We didn't advertise the telephone this time.
Oh, I forgot to advertise. You know what? That's my bad, actually. That's my fault. My 81 million Twitter followers probably would have loved to have known about this.
Yeah.
Oh, well, never mind. Well, thanks everyone for listening to the final ever episode of Radio Go. I want to thank Quentin the pilot and data entity Derek. I want to thank producer Tom. And I also want to thank Stuart Dunlop and India McGrath for no reason in particular. Thank you all for listening to Radio Go. Goodbye forever! Well, Tom, it's been a pleasure working with you.
Yeah.
Finally, I get to look at my phone after, God, 6 hours of this. Oh.
What's happened?
Oh, this is weird. There's a news story here. Oh, Tom.
What?
Tom, it looks like you... Those Stephen King coins.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like they made it to the Treasury.
In a day?
It looks like it.
Oh, wow.
But no, it's not good news.
No, all right.
Because you've devalued the pound. Just by virtue of having all those negative value coins in there, the pound is now worth... Wait, let me check. £0. That's a terrible exchange rate. You've just collapsed the entire monetary system of our country. The king's announcing that we're moving to a barter system.
All right, well, that's good.
Hey, you. I'll give you 3 beans for your radio station.
Oh, sold.
You got yourself sold. A deal.
All right, cool.
We're back, Tom.
We're back on the air.
See you next week.
See you next week.